Part 5, Section 30, Following in His Footsteps. One of the deepest longings of Lua's life was that someday she might be permitted to follow in the Master's footsteps, even if only for the shortest distance. There is a touching story told in Pilgrim's Notes, although we could not find the original to substantiate it, which tells of the day that Lua was walking with Abdu'l-Bahá and some of the friends on the white sands of the sea near Akka. Lua, it is said, suddenly became aware of the Master's tracks in the soft sand. She was walking a pace or two behind him. Quite spontaneously, she stepped behind Abdu'l-Bahá and began to trace his footsteps by placing her shoes one at a time in each of his footprints. Perhaps it is only a fable, as Lua soon became a legend in her own time, and it is difficult to sort fact from fiction, but there is a lesson we all can learn from the story, whatever its origin. Without turning, Abdu'l-Bahá said sharply, "What are you doing?" Lua replied cheerily, "I'm following in your footsteps." Abdu'l-Bahá was silent for some time. Then he repeated more forcefully, "Lua, what are you doing?" She said, "I am walking in your footsteps, beloved master." Without a word, Abdu'l-Bahá strode on. Lua, it is said, felt a chill as she realized the utter futility and presumptuousness of such a weak instrument as herself, ever daring to aspire to walk in the footsteps of the mystery of God. Suddenly, Lua felt an agonizing pain in her ankle. She looked down, and she had been stung by a scorpion. She cried out, but the master did not turn or slow his stride. Lua walked on with the utmost difficulty. Her ankle was swelling rapidly. The pain was becoming intense. But she clenched her teeth and forced herself to continue. When the suffering had become almost unbearable, Abdu'l-Bahá turned and came back. "This," he told her, "is what it means to walk in my footsteps." Abdu'l-Bahá touched her head gently with his hand. Lua's eyes were brimming with tears. She understood the lesson. The master turned and continued on his way, Lua limping after him as best she could. She felt the pain gradually diminishing as she tried to keep up with her beloved master. It was at this time that one of the Baha'is staying in the Holy Land told Lua the story of a youthful Baha'i named Abdu'l-Wahhab. He too had longed earnestly to walk in the footsteps of his beloved. About this story there could be no doubt, for it was verified by the pen of Baha'u'llah himself. Lua listened with enraptured interest. Abdu'l-Wahhab was from Shiraz. When he was living in Qazimayn, his love for Baha'u'llah became so overpowering that he left home and followed Baha'u'llah to Tehran. He longed to be in Baha'u'llah's presence once more. Abdu'l-Wahhab yearned to walk in the footsteps of his beloved. Before Abdu'l-Wahhab arrived in Tehran, Baha'u'llah had been seized and arrested. Although history proved him to be innocent of any wrongdoing, Baha'u'llah was paraded bareheaded, barefooted, and in chains for miles under the blazing sun. His hat was knocked off and his garments stripped from his body. He was stoned along the route. He was beaten by the mounted guards who escorted him to prison. Finally, they cast him into a black, sunless pit underground. There he was chained to the floor. His feet were put in stocks. His shoulders were weighed down by a huge, heavy 100-pound chain, which tore his flesh and scarred him for life. When Abdul Wahab arrived in Tehran searching for Baha'u'llah, he too was arrested as a follower of this new religion. He was thrown into prison. Abdul Wahab was heartbroken. His prayers had not been answered. Now he would remain a prisoner or, who knows, perhaps be slain as an innocent victim of prejudice, never again to look upon the face of Baha'u'llah. Abdul Wahab feared that his longing to walk in the footsteps of that blessed beauty would never be realized. Surely God had forsaken him. Abdul Wahab was shoved down the stone steps of the Black Pit prison into that impenetrable darkness. He was chained to the other prisoners. When Abdul Wahab's eyes gradually became accustomed to the darkness, he turned to look at the prisoner beside him. He looked into the eyes of Baha'u'llah. He was chained to his beloved, and that terrible dungeon with its awful stench of accumulating filth, its vermin, chains and threat of death became a fragrant paradise. Baha'u'llah himself wrote of those hours spent with Abdul Wahab in the Siachal prison. Every day our jailers entering our cell would call the name of one of our companions, bidding him arise and follow them to the foot of the gallows. We were awakened one night, ear break of day, by Abdul Wahab, who was bound with us to the same chains. He asked us whether we were awake and proceeded to relate to us his dream. "I have this night," he said, "been soaring into a space of infinite vastness and beauty. I seemed to be uplifted on wings that carried me wherever I desired to go. A feeling of rapturous delight filled my soul. I flew in the midst of that immensity with a swiftness and ease that I cannot describe." Baha'u'llah looked with love upon Abdul Wahab. He said to him, "Today it will be your turn to sacrifice yourself for this cause. May you remain firm and steadfast to the end. You will then find yourself soaring in that same limitless space of which you dreamed, traversing with the same ease and swiftness the realm of immortal sovereignty, and gazing with that same rapture upon the infinite horizon." Baha'u'llah's words came true. That morning, when the door was opened to let a shaft of sunlight down into the deep black pit, the jailer made his way down the steps and called out a name. "Abdul Wahab." Baha'u'llah wrote of Abdul Wahab's joy when he heard that fateful name called out and was freed of his chains. Baha'u'llah said, "Throwing off his chains, he sprang to his feet, embraced each of his fellow prisoners, and taking us into his arms, pressed us lovingly to his heart. That moment, we discovered that he had no shoes to wear. We gave him our own, and speaking a last word of encouragement and cheer, sent him forth to the scene of his martyrdom. Later on, his executioner came to us, praising in glowing language the spirit which that youth had shown." Abdul Wahab had not only fulfilled his longing to walk in Baha'u'llah's footsteps to share his suffering, Abdul Wahab had walked to his death in Baha'u'llah's very shoes. He had given up friends, fame, wealth, family, and finally life itself. "This," the Persian Baha'is told Lua, "is what it means to walk in the footsteps of your beloved." To Lua, such a sacrifice was not a deterrent, it was a spur. The taste of affliction was as sweet as honey. She longed to share the countless agonies of Baha'u'llah and her beloved master. Instead of quenching her fire, the story of Abdul Wahab poured oil on the flames. After all, she was a spiritual descendant of that illustrious dawnbreaker. If martyrdom was good enough for him, it was good enough for Lua. Lua hoped that someday, somewhere, if only in the tiniest measure, her tribulations would, as Baha'u'llah has said of his own suffering, help lift the yoke of tyranny from off the necks of men.